arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. Second hour, and in this hour, we typically talk about resource issues. In my mind, one of the most important issues out there right now from an investment standpoint is the country of Mexico. Just how dangerous is Mexico in terms of our companies that are engaged in the mining industry down there? I am convinced, based on conversations that I've had with people like Gary Cope and others, that it is not nearly as bad as some people think it is. My buddy Brett Cook, who is an exploration geologist, just got back from Mexico, spent a fair amount of time down there, continues to spend a fair amount of time down there. And I thought, you know what, let's get his views on this and really kind of try and get an accurate perspective of what's going on down there. Brett, number one, thanks so much for joining me, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Al.
How bad is it down there, or is it not so bad?
It's very, very bad in specific locations. Most of that has to do with drug cartels fighting amongst themselves and such. Mm-hmm. There's also been an increase in just random violence and crime, which has to do with, you know, the economy down there and such. So it has certainly gotten worse in Mexico, and I used to rank Mexico the top 5% of places to be exploring. I would now put it in the top 25%, you know, compared to other countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten worse, but it doesn't necessarily affect the mining industry, and I think that's an important point to people to keep in mind.
I would think it wouldn't affect the mining industry because, I mean, yes, they're criminals, okay, you know, legals, but, you know, according to the law in Mexico, the cartels are criminals. They're engaged in an action that is truly illegal. But I'm not sure that they would do anything that would really jeopardize the general population of Mexico. And something a lot of people don't realize is the mining industry is incredibly important to the average Mexican in terms of employment, in terms of the money that the companies put into the schools, the roads, other infrastructure, etc. And it would just, it strikes me just from a common sense standpoint, Brent, that the cartels really have absolutely no desire whatsoever to alienate the people in general.
Maybe. I don't think they've got any interest in shutting down a mining operation.
Right.
They're certainly, I mean, you've got a population, and this, I was just in Guatemala as well,
mm-hmm.
where poverty is pretty high, and a lot of these people that get involved in the drug cartels have absolutely nothing to lose. And when you've got nothing to lose, you do these things that we're seeing happening.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary in that respect. And I know some exploration groups have pulled back exploration in remote areas and that just because of these issues. But I don't think it's something that really is going to affect the mining industry to a large degree.
I think one thing that's important to clarify is exactly where this violence is occurring. It's not really occurring throughout the entire country, as I understand it. It's very, very prevalent in the border towns. Okay, Ciudad Juarez, for example, Nogales, for example. Tijuana, I guess, is getting pretty dangerous. The average high school kid in San Diego or L.A. probably doesn't want to go across the border to have a good time, you know, in that particular town. But in terms of the country in general, am I off base when I say I just don't think there's very much, you know, very much going on down there in terms of this type of violence?
I think you're accurate in stating that. Certainly there's places to avoid. It's gotten worse. But you look at the country as a whole, and always, you know, the news that comes out of there is the worst, just like in the U.S. or anywhere.
Yeah.
So I've spent many, many, many years exploring and working down in Mexico, and I hate to see what's happen, but it's throughout the country.
Yeah. Now, you were just down there recently. What parts of the country were you active in there, Brett?
This trip only went to Jalisco, which flew into Guadalajara, drove out to Jalisco, and there is absolutely no problems at all in the silver property I went to look at.
Mm-hmm.
None at all. I've been down through Durango as well recently. Where else was I? Chihuahua, mm-hmm. down in the central part. No issues at all as well.
Mm-hmm.
Project down in Veracruz, again, no issues at all. So it's not bad.
Yeah. Well, we follow companies, and I'm invested in companies that are very, very active down there in the area of Sonora, in the state of Sonora, for example. You mentioned Chihuahua. I've got some investments in Chihuahua. I'm pretty comfortable, but here's my question. Should the, you know, our listeners are folks who invest in these companies. What should they do, Brett, in your mind to have, you know, to feel secure in terms of their investments? What would you suggest?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
I think look at a country and decide if it's a place you'd be safe, feel safe going to on a holiday.
Sure.
So I would look. Then it comes down to fundamentals. And I think really, and this is what I talk about all the time in my newsletter, it comes down to the fundamentals, the context of the mineralization or the results that a company is reporting is critical. That's much, much more important than the political situation. What does a company really have? And we're seeing, you're probably noticing this as well, that in the junior market now, stocks are going wild on results that, you know, it's just flat out not warranted. So that's the real, you know, in terms of investors knowing what's going on, they need to know what is moving the stocks they're interested in, whether it's high. Hard facts.
Yeah, okay, so in terms then of investing in companies that have operations in Mexico, you're saying, number one, understand whether or not there's anything going on in that part of the country from a turmoil standpoint, for lack of better terms. If you come to the conclusion that there isn't any danger there, and in 90% of Mexico, it's my understanding that there isn't any danger, and we're certainly putting our money where our mouth is in the sense that we're investing in companies in places like, you know, outside of Hermosillo, et cetera, Chihuahua, et cetera. But in addition to that, you're saying you need to look at the basic fundamentals of the company, right? Consider the geopolitical risk, but really hone in on what the company is actually doing, right?
That's key. Now, that's where the money's made, knowing more about a property than the crowd and knowing when to buy in and, more importantly, when to sell based on what the fundamental data is telling you.
Okay.
And that's so, key right now.
Now, you put that, you basically deal with that in your newsletter. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my newsletter, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years now.
I've been
involved in exploration through to feasibility studies and mining.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I do in my letter. I talk about what I'm buying and selling and basically turning rocks into money.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that based on grade, ton, recovery, capital cost, process cost, work out what a deposit really might be worth to somebody looking to buy it. That's what we do in my newsletter.
And most of the companies that are involved in your newsletter are companies, and I know that you're very straight up about this, but these are companies that you actually invest in, correct?
That's right. My newsletter is about what I'm doing with my money. If I see something I like, I buy it, I talk about it in the newsletter, and we follow it until, you know, my target or whatever is reached. At that point, when I sell a stock, I've actually got a self-imposed three-day wait time so that that seems to, you know, that makes it fair and also makes me much more careful in what I buy. For instance, I was down in Guatemala as well and looked at a company with what is probably the richest or biggest silver discovery in a decade. And, you know, Guatemala is actually probably experiencing worse turmoil than Mexico in general. Yet this company is in the right part of the country, and the people that have come on board are top-ranked people who have lived there for a long time. And so they understand the situation. They recognize the risks. They know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing you need to look for.
It is, for sure. Rather than give away the name of the company, here's what I'm going to suggest. If you guys want a sample of what Brett writes about in his newsletter, we're going to make Brett the newsletter writer of the week this week. If you want to know what he is all about, a sample of the newsletter, click on his picture, which is at the bottom of our page, and you can get all of the information that you want. Brett, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, Al.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally-C. Why Ally-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally-C. For more information and to order Ally-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally-C today.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, you have to admit, Brett Cook is a very, very interesting guy. He's a guy who I have a lot of respect for, and his views on investing in Mexico and the mining industry in Mexico are something I really think you ought to consider. It really isn't nearly as bad down there as a lot of the press would like you to believe. Okay, speaking of sober, chatting right now with David Morgan. David is a well-known author, speaker. He's got a great website. He's got a newsletter called The Morgan Report. David's been a friend for a long time, and I think in terms of an authority on sober, this guy is number one. David had a lot of interest in sober recently. It's approaching $30 right now. Do you still feel that sober is a good buy for the listeners of this program if they're looking for a way to kind of diversify their investments?
Well, that's a loaded question. Not as good a buy as it was when it was $5 and no one was following my work.
Mm-hmm.
30 is obviously, a 600% increase from what it was, a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not as good a buy. I mean, there's more risk than there was, at a lower price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone from 20 to 30 pretty rapidly. I mean, if you look at what it's done from basically August 1st to the end of the year here, it's really had an acceleration to the upside. In fact, a parabolic move. And those type of moves usually tend to, top out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, come down and they back and fill, and then they continue on the main trend, which is still up. So I would caution people to, if they want to get in here, is silver going to go higher than 30 eventually? I'll say absolutely, I believe it will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd caution people, if you want to get in here, go ahead. But don't get in with everything you've got. Let's take a, disciplined approach would be, buy some here, and then if there's any dips, buy it on the dips. And if you don't know how to figure out the dips or not, and hardly anyone really does, even a professional, is to just dollar cost average in. So, if you want to put $5,000 in the silver market as an example, let's make it $6,000 and make it easier to do the math in our head. Then what you do is you buy, $1,000 worth of coins, January 1st and February 1st, March 1st, et cetera, until you've gone through 6 months. And if you do that dollar cost averaging approach, you're going to come out really, really well as long as we're still in a bull market. And I believe strongly we are still in a bull market.
I want to ask your opinion about something, and that is, Kathy and I, as you know, buy silver, and we're buying silver on a regular basis right now, every month with an outfit called Silver Saver, interestingly enough, that you introduced me to. But prior to doing that, we bought some silver rounds, and I was criticized by some people for doing that because they simply felt that silver as an investment, as purely a financial investment, really wasn't a good idea. Some of my listeners were rather critical of, when I announced the fact that we bought the rounds, and we purchased them when we paid about $14 an ounce for silver. Now, having said that, I bought those silver rounds, and I continue to buy through the Silver Saver on a monthly basis, not because I'm looking to make money in silver, but because I'm looking for some insurance against a possible currency problem in the country. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, a couple. One is, I laugh whenever, if you really want to get kind of, I hate to use the word nasty, but if you want to, really get to the gut level, I mean, I just laugh at those kind of comments because, look at who's the richest man on the planet. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and both of them were huge silver investors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, if someone that, I don't measure people by their net worth. I'm bigger than that. You know that, Al.
Sure,
but on the
sure.
other hand, if you're going to measure by their net worth, or you're going to make some kind of a statement about what you know about the financial markets and who's what to invest in,
mm-hmm.
and you look at billionaires buying silver when it was the right time, like Soros, Buffett,
uh-huh.
Gates,
yeah.
Paul Tudor Jones,
yeah.
Come on, get a clue. So I'd bring that up to that person in a probably less direct manner than I just did for your show.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the safe haven status, look, the facts are what they are. Silver holds every attribute of classic money that gold holds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go back to Aristotle, it's fungible, it's recognizable, it's high unit value per unit. I mean, it's been money more places, more times, and used more often than gold has for
mm-hmm.
money in world history or monetary history. So, it's certainly, Al, my thoughts. I mean, you didn't have to ask me, but I'm glad you let me voice them. That's the kind of thing that you're getting good indications that you should keep buying. If you're still hearing those comments from those people, I would continue to buy. If they're telling you now that silver is the best investment they ever heard of, maybe you ought to sell a little bit. I don't know.
I'll tell you what kind of an interesting experience that I had that adds a little fuel to our fire here. A good friend of mine sent me an email yesterday, and, you know, he's kind of becoming a believer in gold. And he said, you know, what do you know about this organization? I'm thinking about purchasing some gold. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? And I said, well, listen, I said, you know, keep in mind, I'm not a registered investment advisor. So this is just, I'm just giving you an opinion as to what I'm doing. I'm certainly not telling you what I think you should do. But I said, you know, Kathy and I buy silver as opposed to gold, not because I don't think gold's a good deal, but simply because, you know, ask yourself the simple question, at $30 an ounce, what is it going to take for silver to double in value? $30. At $1,400 an ounce, what's it going to take for gold to double in value? $1,400. Which is more likely to happen? Just ask yourself that question. That's one of the reasons, David, that I like silver better. And I also like the industrial demand aspect of silver.
Well, as you know, as a subscriber, I mean, in March of this year, I did that big study for, you know, what's silver going to do over the next 10 years. I looked at all aspects, industrial,
right,
recycling,
right,
mining increases, and, of course, investment demand.
Sure.
And, you know, it's very hard to be as objective as possible to not see a huge demand increase over the next decade for silver. And I did a very conservative look, as you know. I ruled out a lot of applications that are going to take place, and yet I really downplay them to be safe, because when you look at 10 years, I mean, no one's got a perfect crystal ball. So to be conservative, I said, look, mining increases are going to continue umpteen times, and
right,
I really doubt that will take place, but I assume they would. You know, I made a lot of assumptions, in other words, that were rather bearish, mm-hmm, within the context of the facts, or the projected facts, I should say. And it's a very bullish story, as you know.
No, I think it is, and I, you know, it's funny, but I started reading about silver with when I was in, I believe, junior high school. You know, I started to follow a guy by the name of Jerome Smith, who I think probably was one of the original silver bulls of all time. But you know, I was reading this guy's stuff back in the very early 1960s, and to me, silver makes a lot of sense. And I sometimes wonder, and I know this is kind of, we've only got about 40 seconds here, and we don't have time to address this issue, but I wonder sometimes why the Chinese are so active in the gold market and yet not very active in the silver market.
They are. They just don't talk about it. I mean, I'll give you some insights on my trip over there, but we don't have time for that right now.
We'll do her next week. Okay, Big Al has been chatting with David Morgan. Listen, David is included on our website. If you want more information about his website or his newsletter, simply go to the guest section on our website and click on Mr. Morgan. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
There are five things you must do to have great health. Restore an alkaline pH, restore optimum hormone levels, detoxify your body, eliminate infections, and feed your body optimal nutrition. I've seen people with 70% clogged arteries become 100% clear in 12 months. I've seen people lower high blood pressure. I've seen people alleviate depression and all arthritis pain go away in 2 months or less. These and many other benefits await you when you apply the five steps to great health. One superfood that I recommend you try to improve your health is called One World Whey. This new Remarkable Whey protein powder is transforming the health of its users. Users report improved energy, mood, gains in muscle, and even improved breathing. It may sound too simple that a protein powder can do so much, but One World Whey is specially processed to give it its unique potency. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now, new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, second hour of the program. Just to remind you, we always talk about resource issues in this particular portion of the program. I'm chatting right now with Chris Berry. Chris is a very, very interesting young man. I know his dad, Dr. Michael Berry, really well. Chris started coming on the show, I guess it was probably about a month or so ago. Very, very knowledgeable guy, really, really an interesting person, and I have asked him to come on this weekend and chat about a subject that he's studying right now, which actually he's writing about, I guess I should say, right now, that is very, very interesting, and that is iron ore and the fact that the India, which is a major, major player, economic player in the world, has just declared iron ore to be a strategic metal. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, it's actually one of the states in India, Karnataka, which is one of the major producers of iron ore, and they export a good portion of it, has, and this happened actually a little earlier this year, and it's now wrapped up in the courts over there trying to figure out how to resolve the issue. But yeah, essentially the Indians now view iron ore as a strategic metal or a strategic resource, which is interesting because when you think strategic metals, you think about rare earths or, you know, lithium or vanadium or something like that. And having an industrial metal like iron ore, you know, be included in this group is I think, unprecedented. And it's really interesting.
What are the implications for the industry, I mean, in terms of the mining industry in that particular segment?
Well, I think there are a couple. I think that there are, you know, obvious supply-demand issues. I mean, India exports about 100 million tons per year of iron ore, and this particular area of India, Karnataka, produces about 25 million tons per year. So that's 25 million tons that is effectively off the market. So, you know, the question is, and obviously that has implications for upward price pressures, which is what we've seen in the iron ore market this year. But, you know, that's one issue. The other issue is, of course, jobs. I mean, mining does play a role in the Indian economy and the Indian growth story. So you've got, you know, a large number, I'm not sure what the actual number is, but a large number of miners in India that are essentially mothballed because of this political decision that was made around iron ore. So, you know, it could lead to all sorts of different things. I mean, unrest, you know, it could really go a number of different ways.
And how do you think it's going to go?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, obviously, like I said, India exports about 100 million tons a year, but let's not forget about what goes on in Brazil, Australia, or even in North America. They're a very substantial producer of iron ore. You know, the iron ore industry in terms of producers is very closed in the sense that 80% of the market is controlled by three players, and those are, of course, Vale out of Brazil, BHP, which is, I guess, an Anglo-Australian venture, and then Rio Tinto. So you've got 80% of the market, and fortunately, the three of them are concentrated in Brazil and Australia. So, you know, if anything, production will have to increase from those three guys, and it seems like it will. You know, iron ore itself is actually the world's second largest commodity market after crude oil. It's about a $200 billion a year market. So it's really up to these big guys. And then I think to a lesser extent, some of the, I call them the mid-tier producers like Cliffs Resources, for example, to step up to the plate and fill this gap.
Do you see this particular, you know, the iron ore reaching the status in a portion of India, do you see that as something that may become more common around the world?
Well, you mean just with respect to iron ore?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. And I think that anything is possible. You know, when you've got a lot of these metals nowadays that are sky high, a perfect example is copper at, you know, 410 or 415 an ounce. And what you're finding in Chile is, sure, there's lots of it, but the grade is lower than it once was. So people are searching for higher grade deposits. And that's why, you know, the Australians and primarily, and then the Brazilians secondarily realize that, you know, they do have high-grade deposits. And, you know, resource nationalism is a slippery slope, and I think that's what the Indians are finding out. And I guess my hope or my concern is that the politicians in Australia and Brazil use India as a case study and really, quite frankly, don't go the same way that the Indians have gone. There's plenty of this stuff to go around. Like I said, it's a $200 billion a year industry. You know, hundreds of millions of tons are exported, so there's a lot of it, and a lot of high-grade stuff as well. So I guess my hope and my preference would be that the Brazilians and Australians err on the side of restraint in terms of protecting the resources here.
What's that going to do to the price of some of the stocks of some of the companies located in Brazil and Argentina? You know, there's got to be a number of those companies that trade on the U.S. exchanges and also on Canadian exchanges.
Yeah, there are. You know, there are plenty. Obviously, like I mentioned, Rio and BHP and Vale are the big three. Cliffs is another one. And, you know, there are a whole host of juniors that, you know, the typical junior story, they have 100% ownership of a great land package, and it's sort of a race to develop the resource. And you know, ultimately, I think what will happen as prices for iron ore continue to rise, again, based on the back of Asian demand, predominantly China and India, a lot of these little guys are going to get gobbled up because it's a lot of the little guys who have the high-grade resources that the BHPs and the Rios are going to be looking for.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about mineral demand for minerals, I guess is a better way to put it, coming out of the Far East, specifically out of mainland China. You hear a lot about base metals like copper, for an example. I mean, copper's trading north of $4 $4 right now based on, to a large extent, the demand coming out of China. I the same thing, I think. Well, put it into perspective, if you would, vis-a-vis iron ore.
Sure. You know, the Chinese, in 2009, they imported 628 million tons of iron ore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I'm not really sure how else to describe it, but iron ore is one of a multitude of metals and minerals that the Chinese are just sucking up. I mean, it's a huge vacuum cleaner right now, and they're obviously building out the infrastructure based on the belief that you have this emerging middle class that I put it at about 250 to 300 million citizens that are yearning for a higher quality of life. And this higher quality of life is built on the back of resources such as iron ore, such as copper, such as nickel, such as silver, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, to take it to one step further, you look at a mineral like lithium or vanadium, and they're obviously specialty or critical metals. And, you know, they are necessary for electric vehicles and iPods and iPads and so on and so forth. So, you know, you've seen upward pressure on essentially almost all minerals out there, and the base ones, I think, are the ones that are in the most demand right now, because that's fundamental to any infrastructure build in any economy.
You mentioned there were a number of junior companies involved in the iron ore sector. Give me some examples, would you?
Sure. One in particular that we've been following for a while and have done some work with, called MacArthur Minerals. Mm-hmm. They are listed on the TSX Venture. pardon me. They, again, typical story, have a huge resource. They have about 18 million tons of hematite on the surface, and below that about 1.4 billion tons of magnetite below that. Now, they are in the Yilgarn region of Western Australia, which is several hundred kilometers south of where BHP and Rio Tinto are located in the Pilbara. But, you know, what I like about a story like MacArthur is the fact that it is small. It's sort of traveling under the radar, and their eventual plan is to get to production, but they're in elephant country in the sense that they're surrounded to the north by Rio Tinto and BHP, and to the south, actually, their neighbors with Cliffs Resources, all of whom are producing moderate to high-grade iron ore for export to the rest of the world. So you look at a stock like that, and it has plans to get to production, and seems like, you know, it's doable over the next couple of years, and you just wonder if they're not on the radar of one of the big boys.
Okay, that's been interesting. Iron ore is something that Big Al doesn't know a lot about, but it sounds to me from what I'm hearing Chris say that it's something we should learn about. Hey, stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the show with an old friend of mine, Michael McGinnis. Mike is a, among other things, geologist. He's a mining executive. He is the president of a company called Riverstone Resources. Riverstone's properties are in Burkina Faso, which is in Africa. And I wanted to chat with Mike, not about Riverstone so much right now, but I wanted to chat about the geopolitical situation for mining companies in Africa. You know, we talked earlier with Brent Cook about what's going on in Mexico and what's going on in Nicaragua and what investors need to be aware of. And since there is so many mining operations in Africa, I thought it would be interesting to chat with Mike because he spent an awful lot of time over there and just get his read on what the situation is. Mike, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Glad to join you, Al. Look forward to it.
Let's talk first about Burkina Faso because that's where your properties are. Geopolitically, I mean, you've got to be comfortable, I would think. Can you kind of give us a little bit of an education on what's going on over there in terms of governmental support to the support of the population or lack thereof, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely. We went into Burkina first, Al, in 2002, and it was mainly as a kind of a look-see time at that for the reasons that you just talked about. I wanted to survey that same sort of parameter, how we might operate, what kind of a country it would be. And I'm pleased to report that Burkina is one of the nicest, safest countries I've worked in, frankly. The government has been exceptionally encouraging to mining business. They have put in a very modern mining code, which is conducive to development. The people of the country themselves are a very nice group of people, a very honest group, and are, on top of all, really are excellent workers. So overall, that part of the project development, et cetera, if you put it that way, has been excellent. There's no serious crime to speak of. I have no problem day or night walking anywhere and feeling at all threatened. So overall, I give Burkina Faso two thumbs up in terms of the ability to do work, carry it on safely without fear of any issues that in a safety regard.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other parts of Africa because it's, I mean, Burkina Faso certainly isn't the only place that that mining is going on over there. It's kind of a ridiculous statement given the fact that up until about 2 years ago, South Africa was the largest producer of gold in the world. But other parts of Africa that you're familiar with, I mean, is there any, what countries over there should people be wary of, Mike?
I don't suppose you could exclude any real country because sometimes these things come out of left field when you're least expecting it. But mm-hmm. The ones that have known safety issues, Niger has got an active rebel contingent in the north of the country, and periodically there's been kidnappings of foreign workers and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So one has to be careful, particularly if you're ending up in the northern part of that. Mali, for example, has got generally a very good geopolitical climate to work in, with the possible exception in the furthest northern part of the country near the border, and there are small pockets of, they call them Al-Qaeda terrorists, but I think that's a label that everybody gets if you happen to be carrying guns and threatening people. But it's another area that people need to be very careful about if you're working anywhere up near the northern border of Mali. Senegal has generally been a good country to work in. The government has been very supportive of the mining industry in terms of development, generally a fairly safe country, and no active in-country insurgency or rebels to speak of. Côte d'Ivoire, very close to Burkina. Côte d'Ivoire has had a bit of a history of some civil strife with a group in the north kind of fighting the government in the south, and that waxes and wanes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In the last few years, it has not been too bad, although you may have been reading, Al, in the papers about the recent election, and it's caused, again, a lift in the civil strife in Côte d'Ivoire. So of the mining countries in West Africa, that's just my take on several of them that the mining companies might be working in.
Mike, where else have you worked around the world other than Africa? I mean, you've been in this game a long time. I have to believe that you've been in other parts also that we could chat a little bit about. Any thoughts on Mexico, as an example?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to work for about 8 years in Mexico in the early to mid-late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it at that time to be a good country to work in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were even at that time, there were, you know, a few areas that you wanted to be careful about in terms of your safety.
Yeah. Chatting earlier today, didn't mean to cut you off, but chatting earlier today with Brent Cook, who I'm sure you know, and I know he's got a real high regard for you. He was saying that Mexico has slipped a bit. He said, you know, I used to put it in the top 5% of countries in the world in terms of safety. He said, now I put it in the top 25%. But he said, it still isn't. He said, I don't view myself as being threatened when I'm down there, because a lot of the strife that you hear about in the daily press, you know, what's going on in Ciudad Juarez, et cetera, he said, that does not extend at all to, you know, to the mining, the portions of the country that are, for the most part, involved in mining. So, I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes, I'd agree with that exactly, actually. I think it's got generally a little less safe than it was 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think, again, one needs to be prudent. You need to know where you're going.
Sure.
in all parts of Mexico, because you can have an area that generally is 95% safe, but there's one little pocket up over there that the locals will tell you, you know, don't bother going up there.
Right.
So, again, I think a certain amount of caution throughout most of Mexico right now is in order.
You know, I've spent a fair amount of time both in South America in terms of working in Chile and in Argentina, and I'm really, really comfortable down there. I've also heard comments about Brazil stating that Brazil is just an area that you really don't have to be worried about pretty much at all. A lot of hubbub, a lot of discussion going on right now about Colombia, supposed, you know, from what I'm hearing, the situation in Colombia has completely reversed from what it was, say, 10, 12 years ago. I know that former President Bill Clinton spent a fair amount of time down there, along with someone who you probably know, Frank Giustra, spent some time down there, Frank Holmes. And chatting with Frank, he said that he thinks that Colombia is really, really the up-and-coming place to be for mining companies. Do you have any comments on that?
I would be spot on. I had the opportunity again to be working more than 10 or 12, more like 15 or 20 years ago in Colombia through a coal project, and it was decidedly unsafe in many parts of that of the country. And
back in those days.
And back in those days.
Yeah.
Today, I haven't worked in it recently, but I've got good friends right now who have active projects, and they basically echo what Frank's saying, is that it's a changed country. It's open for business. It's safe. And you should not feel worried about taking on any projects in Colombia today.
Well, when you have someone like Frank Giustra or Frank Holmes and then, you know, involved with former President Bill Clinton, you got to believe that something important was happening down there. I want to ask you about one last country that I have some definite feelings on, but I'm curious what yours are, and that would be Bolivia. Do you feel that that's a safe place to be? I know that Pan American Silver is down there. South American Silver is down there. Boy, the name of the large Japanese conglomerate escapes me, but they're down there. What are your feelings on that part of the world?
Again, it's a country where you used to not even think about those aspects of working there. Today, I think, again, one proceeds with a little bit of caution in Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I wouldn't say it was to a point where you would preclude, you know, looking at a potential investment there or continuing exploration if you happen to be there.
I would agree with that 100%. I'm chatting with Mike McGinnis. Mike is a mining executive who has been involved in the industry for a long, long time, 25 to 35 years, and he's the president of, interestingly enough, one of our sponsor companies. The name of the company is Riverstone Resources. Mike is a good guy. He's a wealth of information. Mike, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, always nice to talk to you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.